Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to start the second lecture with the legal background. I would just like to add one thing for those participants who've participated in the lecture this morning. Said, well, under German law, if you're hacking a wireless network or if you're getting into a wireless network from somebody else, it's a little bit difficult to the idea to prosecute that under section 202A of the German Penal Code. That is true, but if you are hacking into it by interfering the communication on that line and analyzing it and finally decrypting it, this is definitely a criminal act. So it's always depending how you get into the system. This is the idea. So if there is an open wireless network and you're getting into that one and simply using it for internet communication, that's something else than really wiretapping what there is going on and decrypting it and reading emails or whatever. So this was just an amendment to our last conversation. Well, today, or right now, it's data retention. I was planning, I saw there are some other classes on the agenda, and I was planning to sit there and really just listen to you, what you're saying, and how to circumvent that, and why it is useless. There was very little, I have to say. I'm quite surprised. I was not planning to say anything about the data retention today, apart from some general remarks. I would like to talk to you about the future, what is coming next after data retention, but just a few words. It's your job now to do the work that the European Parliament did not do. It's your work now to explain us how we can circumvent it, how we can hide in the internet. Because basically, when I was talking to politicians, they always said, well, if you don't have anything to hide, you don't have to worry. And I was went the dogmatic way, and I said, well, that's a stupid question. That's a question that destroys every conversation. But that's the wrong answer. The right answer would have been, well, I have a lot of things to hide. And I think we should really communicate that and say, no, it's not that it's the question, do you have something that I not? We want it. I want to hide. I want my privacy. And I have secrets, of course, and I do not want anybody to know them. So this is very important for me. And, well, it's your job. I mean, I've just participated in one of the other lectures, and there was a guy who explained us how to circumvent it. I would like to hear more details from you. You should do it. You should give us a way, show us more things, how to circumvent the data retention. Okay, that was the point. You don't have to worry if you have nothing to hide. Well, do we have to worry? That would have been my question for you. I didn't get a sufficient answer yet. I would like to know much more from your point of view, too. And therefore, I would like to have much more of a discussion going on about maybe data retention, but as well as the other threats I would like to present you right now. I would really like to hear your point of view and take it back. Well, in Germany, if we just keep out the European thing right now, there is one interesting thing. The parties in Germany are not quite happy with each other. As they all have their own point of view. But in one thing, they all had a common view, and that was we do not want any data retention. That's absolutely for sure. There was no chance to get a data retention through the German Parliament. Now we got it through the European, to the European Parliament, and I'm not happy about the position of the European Parliament. There is no control. I really thought we wouldn't get this. I really thought the European Parliament would stop it, but it seems it's now not the European Parliament who can stop it anymore, but we have constitutional courts who will deal with this one, so there is still a chance. But okay, that was the past. We have to deal with this now. There are many open questions remaining. There are question technical aspects. Does it really help us to identify those people they are willing to identify? My answer would be no. Won't help those people who are able or who have the technical skill to hide their identity in the internet. They will make use of it. So I thought, you know, if I drop in here, everybody of you is pretty relaxed because of that topic, because you say, well, it's not me. I know what to do, so nobody can identify me. It's much more for these people outside. And I was talking to one of the guys from the KS Computer Club, and he said, well, I'm not doing it for me. I know how to hide my identity. I'm doing it for the rest of the world. That's okay, but, you know, we always have to see that those folks are buying a wireless network, an access point, and they're just setting it up without any password. So there's a waste of privacy. They're not respecting that, don't have any idea of privacy. So it's a little bit difficult to fight for those people with regard to data retention if they throw around with their personal data during the entire day. But definitely, it's important that we're dealing with this problem, but right now much more from a practical point of view. One last thing. It was always in the discussion with the politicians. They said, well, it's like a car registration we're looking for. I mean, those are the ones that know less from the technical point of view than I do. So they said, it's much more of car registration we want. And it's important to always, I've mentioned that this morning, have a look in the real world, compare it to the internet. There shouldn't be anything in the real world, or there shouldn't be anything in the internet that we do not have in the real world. No legislation in the internet that we don't have in the real world. And, well, at least in every part of Europe outside Great Britain, there is no complete coverage where you go with your car. I mean, you have a registration. And let's say quick freeze procedure, if there is a crash, they will write down your registration. That's okay. But you're not recognized whenever you drive through town. That would have been a good start for this lecture today, 3 or 4 weeks ago. But then I read that Great Britain is exactly doing what I've mentioned. They said the streets should be banned, or terrorists should be banned from the streets, and therefore we will recognize the car identification wherever we can. All CCTV cameras should be used to identify them so we can definitely recognize them when they're moving on the street. So this is absolutely a similar approach than the data retention, and this really threatens me. But okay, let's leave this out as well. There are a number of other threats. RFID. I mean, I've just got this very interesting lecture about RFID. If it is really possible to trace back the route of people who have their RFID or carrying around their passport, that is really a threat. You know, you're forced by law, at least in Germany, to carry around your ID card. And if you do it and people can trace back your route, that really frightens me. But we have something else in the internet. In the past, it was always that regulations from the real world swept over to the internet. Now it seems the internet is moving forward, and we have this in real life next week. Okay, the abstract threat for me with regard to data retention is the fact that the state, this authority, has a huge potential in their hands, and they're misusing it wherever they can. And I see this. This is nothing, 1984. No, we can really just look back in the past. If you see the fees you have to pay, and this huge system that was installed in German highways to sum up the fee that the lorry drivers have to pay when they pass Germany, this is a huge system. It's a good system. It's overloaded. Everybody said, why do we need such a huge system that is really surviving everything that is doing that? I have cameras everywhere. This is too much. We could have installed a completely different system. And now they say, well, maybe we could make use of these machines to register everybody who is passing the street so we could identify criminals, stolen cars. Wouldn't that be wonderful? And this is now the point where it comes to me. I mean, it came before, but now where it comes to me, I know what you were planning from the beginning. This was just, that was just the first thing you did. And now we're going to have the next steps. And if you think about it, it's really complete coverage of transportation. And they will develop it. It's on the motorway right now, but we'll be in town the next week. So we really have to keep the authorities away from huge potential. That's the one thing. And the second thing is, think of the private business. I mean, if the prosecution phones AOL right now and says, could you please send me some information about one of your clients who used your internet service at a specific time, they should say, no, I'm sorry, because of EU regulation, I'm not allowed to keep these data only for billing purpose, and this is no billing purpose, I've deleted it. No, but what they do is, oh, yeah, fine, we're going to send you the information. So the next question should be, why on earth do you store them? And that's two things I worry about. The one thing is they store them. That's during this discussion about data retention, they said, oh, we don't want data retention. We don't want to be forced. We do it, but we don't want to be forced because it's so expensive. On the other hand side, they're doing it all the time. So this is why we just had a discussion with one of your colleagues, and I said they have bad arguments because they're already doing it. The big ones already store information, not on that large scale that they're going to do it in the next years, but they already do it. That's the one thing. And the second thing is, why do they do it? They never do something without force. And they do it because they are very useful, this information. So I don't want private business to have this information because they're going to sell them. And they're going to bring together this information. And I mean, if you see the American country, if you see the American companies that are running these businesses gathering cards from your credit card information and your bank account information and whatever you bought with your payback card or whatever, they are collecting these information, bringing them together and selling your profile. And I really don't want to know who is behind them. That's really the thing that threatens me. And if I hear there is Scientology who's really involved in that, and then you're so surprised. These people are so surprised and say, "Oh, I didn't know." But you know, we really have to care about our privacy and therefore data protection. The fight against data protection is something we should all care about. And the last threat is I was just involved in a case where some of these copyright holders try to force access providers to stop access to certain pages. And they said, well, you know, all these pages, the file sharing system, they have their valuable information about file sharing system and where you find the best files. Please do me a favor, stop any access, or not do me a favor. I'm going to force you to stop access to these pages. And the access provider said, no, we won't do this, and we're not storing this information. We cannot, we are not responsible, and all these things. And what I'm figuring out right now is that the music industry is really waiting for these data. They are just waiting and say, we want this information. And that really frightens me, because it's not terrorist. I mean, somebody who's downloading a file from the internet, which is, I just want to mention it here, there's a discussion going on, but which is not a crime if you're doing it for your private use. There are some experts and some adverts, some in the movie especially, who are telling us that we are criminals if we're downloading files from the internet. That's stupid. Okay, so if somebody's downloading a few files from the internet, that should be no criminal sanction on that. That would be not useful. I mean, you would go home and feel criminal, and that cannot be the point. So therefore, I think that the copyright holders should be kept away from sensitive information. And this threatens me as well when we talk about data retention. Okay, so what I did when I was discussing this data retention thing with friends, we developed, well, is that really sufficient? Does it help? Does data retention really help? And I mean, I was not really thinking about you who can circumvent about technical measures, but you know, imagine an open wireless LAN. I mean, there is a neighbor. I was planning to get an internet access, and I locked on my computer, and then I saw there were a number of open wireless LAN available in the neighborhood. So what if I'm using them? I mean, the trace goes back to that guy, and he doesn't even know I used it. So you will not catch any terrorist who's using open wireless LAN networks. And I mean, if you drive through a German town, a bigger city, you find hundreds of them, thousands of them. I mean, people do not want to get into the plug and play. That's the right word. They do not want to install anything. They want to just set it up and that's it. Plug it in and use it. And therefore, open wireless LAN is a big topic. And as long as there is open wireless LAN, data retention does not really make sense. Next one, public internet cafes. I've just been to Serbia to explain them something about the Cybercrime Convention, and I went to a public internet cafe, and it was crowded with people who were downloading movies from the internet, exchanging files, and no registration. I simply went there. It was about 20 cents for an hour, and it was wonderful. And you know, as long as there are open wireless internet cafes, we do not have to talk about data retention, because I went in and I left, and that was it. My trace, that was all I could trace back. Excuse me. Yes, please. You need a microphone. If you please feel free to ask any question right now. You don't have to wait until the end. This should be a discussion, because my presentation ends in 7 slices, so there is just very little I have to say. I would like to hear much more from you, but there is the microphone. It's here.
Breno de Winter said in his lecture that in Italy people already have to show their passport in internet cafes.
Yeah, that's brand new. And it's the same in China. I'm teaching in China as well. And it's the same situation we do have there. They are trying to control. They're very successful with regard to control at the access providers, but as well as internet cafes. So to trace back the route, they need the identification, and therefore they're forcing this. And it's the same in Italy. They're doing it. But right now I can still use internet cafes in a number of countries where they simply don't do that. So you just go there, pay your money, and that's where the trace ends. So that's another thing. And then anonymize. Oh, there is another question. Yes, please.
This is okay. I almost hate to play devil's advocate, but I think to say that there is no value as long as you have the open wireless networks is not quite true, because I do know at least if I see a pattern of abuse coming from a specific wireless network, if I'm a police agency, I know that the person is within an X house radius, and so there is still some value. If I see access in an internet cafe every day at 4 p.m., that still gives me value. So I think that to say that there is no value is not quite accurate.
No, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. I was thinking about the terrorist, you know, who's in a town. He doesn't always regularly use the same. I'm talking about professional terrorist. You know, he won't use the same network all the time. He would just move around, and if there are hundreds, he's choosing them. So it normally leads back, and this is why if I'm talking to people who say, well, I was doing some hacking activities, and I was threatened by the fact that the police could jump into my house, and I'm always mentioning, and that's not for you now. It's just a general. Whereas, set up a wireless network, because then you can simply say, sorry, it could have been everybody. It might have been my line, but actually I don't know who it was. So that's an option, and therefore a wireless network is something police is really afraid of. You know, if they come in and you just drop, see the Wi-Fi saying that's it. That normally stops the interest because it's making it much more difficult. Okay, but then the next one is Anonymizer. I'm using this JAP very intensively, and I'm asking myself, I mean, it's not set up in a way that data retention, that they could stop the threat of data retention yet, but maybe they can in the future if they set up the system a different way, so a number of countries are involved that do not have any data retention outside Europe, especially in the eastern part of Europe, think of Russia or something else, this could be really a system that works perfectly and stops any attempts of data retention in Europe. And the last one is encryption. That's something you could make use of as well, and I will make use of, which could at least stop some kind of data retention, especially when it comes to email, because email communication, they want to identify the people who are communicating, so they need the email addresses. I mean, it doesn't really help them to identify the people, only the addresses, but they need them, and therefore they have to step down one layer. And if there is some kind of encryption used that stops them from any access to these layers, that's basically your job, then that would help as well. So these are all things that easily can be set up, and therefore experts might say, well, why do we have data retention? That doesn't help. You know, it's so easy to circumvent it. Maybe not easy enough now, but these are really options. So what I would like to do with you right now is let's have a look into the brain of those people who are drafting laws, what they are thinking right now. And actually, they don't think that much, but they have this activity in their brain. I wouldn't call it thinking, but, you know, it's at least there's something going on, and it's a strange output, and they're touching the same aspects. They're already drafting something in this area. And let's start with the open wireless LAN. There is a missing awareness, definitely. I mean, people are buying it, setting up, they don't care. They don't care that somebody could hack in. That is not even hacking. It's just by driving past the street, my system is doing it automatically. And there is a great potential for misuse. Hiding identity, committing crimes, all this summarized. So there's a great potential. So what, I mean, this is obviously that something must be done from the point of the legislation. So what are they going to do? My suggestion is that they're going to extend the duty of those people who are running these access points. That means you have to register. You already have to do it right now if you're based in Germany. You might not know that. If you're using a closed network only for your own purpose use, for your own private use, or your family, that's fine. But if you have an open network and many people are connecting from the neighborhood as well, you have to register it. You do not need permission for that, but at least you have to say, hey, I'm running one of them. This could be turned in a different way. It means like you have to register, and they're forcing you as soon as you're setting this up to participate in the data retention. That will be the next step. Or even to set up a certain system. That means not only a cheap wireless LAN system, but a system that can gather or collect much more information. So that would be an option, or that is something we have to think about, we have to be aware about. Right now we have a wonderful situation. Wireless networks or open wireless networks all around, but that could change in the future. There is another question. Can we have a microphone, please?
Hi, I think your suggestion is not of any use because you just break into the wireless network, even if it is encrypted, and then you use it. And so the data retention is useless.
Oh, right. Okay, you're absolutely
you
right.
You won't find out who used it.
You know, it's so easy now. I mean, if you... I was talking to one of you guys, and I asked him, well, is my encryption at home sufficient? And he said, you know, if I'm driving through a street and there are about 20 networks, 10 are open, some of them are not well protected, the others are not well protected, and one is well protected, well, I'm going to choose one of the open networks. I won't really use 5 or 10 minutes to break into your system. It's much easier to take another one. So as long as there are no sensitive information stored that I really want, I won't care. So as long as we have open networks, there is no need to break into any other network. But as soon as we have a regulation on this one, you will simply break in. I know that you will do that. That's not the point. But we have to think about this, especially if you're running an open network. If you say, I want other people to participate, I would like to stop tracing back the route and would like to participate in this process by setting up open networks and simply say, I'm not responsible for what is happening when information are passing my lines, there might be difficulties coming up. Internet ID, that's the example from Italy. You have to show your valid ID. That could be an option. You say, if you use an internet service, anything that has to do with communication that could be used by terrorists as well, means everything, then you have to show your ID. This is something we have to at least think about. So that would as well change the idea of an open society, democracy in the internet. I mean, people who don't have the money to buy an expensive computer, who may not be... And this is something that is happening in Eastern Europe on a large scale. The people are using these internet cafes not only because it's fun, but especially because they don't have access to the internet. So if we limit this and if we do not give people the possibility to communicate anonymously, that would be a great danger to what we do feel right now a democratic process of the internet. So this could be a threat as well, and I would like to trigger it and to draw your attention to the fact that this could be the next problem. There is another question, please.
Do I understand it right that all these data retention should be used to trace terrorists?
Well, let's say,
I'm not finished.
Sorry.
And if it is the case, shouldn't our effort lie in a new definition of the word terrorism?
Okay, so it's if you would like a law to pass Parliament without trouble, that's difficult. That's really difficult. Many interest groups. You simply say against terrorism. Say, law against terrorism or anti-terrorism act, because that's always the easiest way. Fighting against terrorism, everybody is on your side, and nobody will stand up and say no. So definitely, the idea was to trace back roots, because it's obviously that terrorists are using the internet. I mean, they would be stupid if they are located all around the world if they wouldn't use the internet. It seems that they are pretty much skilled. That they, I don't know what level, but at least they know how to hide their identity, how to communicate. But the question is only, is that really the reason why the policeman in a mid-sized town is already sitting there like that? Okay, we're going to get you. We're going to get you guys. It's not the terrorists they're aiming for. There's a much broader application they're planning. So I think, I don't know if it is hacker that I think of, about child pornography and a number of other scenarios where we will see that it's not a fast development, but it might take 5 years. But you know what is 5 years in times of internet? That's very short. But we see that development. That is, there is a concentration of these efforts to implement investigation instruments, and it's not the clever ones. You know, there are a number of clever investigation instruments I can think of. For example, quick freeze procedure. I really appreciate very much if they would develop something like this, because I think if somebody is committing a crime, they have to be able to prosecute them. That's no question. But, you know, storage of all people around the world, or let's say in Europe, just because there are a number of criminals, no, that can't be the solution. There is another question.
I just wanted to say there is a possibility to stop those open networks perhaps by a policy like with homepages, now you are responsible for the content of homepages which you link to. Like, okay. If you set up your network, you are responsible if any terrorist uses it. Something like that would make this a little, would discourage people from having those networks.
I have to say, I'm very much into that responsible topic. I thank you very much for that remark. But it's a difference between content, responsibility for content, and responsibility for access. And right now, it's a question I will raise at the end, whether this will remain. Right now we say an access provider is not liable for, not responsible for what's happening over his lines, what there is going. So an access provider can simply sit back and say, no, I'm not responsible at all. And somebody who is offering, who's working as a host provider, he's responsible if he has knowledge. And somebody who's really putting on content, he's fully responsible. I know that there will be complaints now because we see some court rulings that are going in a different direction. But this is right now what we do have. But there is one difficulty. And the difficulty is that the reason why the access provider should not be responsible is because at the time where the law was drafted, it was absolutely clear, all experts said there is a control is not possible for him. But right now it seems the control is possible. The Chinese do it, and they're very successful in that. And some of the providers I was talking to, they said, of course we could do that. Oh, that's no problem. If a keyword? No problem. We could really filter keywords. But I always mention, please don't say it loud. I mean, silent is okay, but don't stand up and say it's possible, because then we will have another discussion about responsibility. And if we start the discussion about responsibility again, that's really difficult. You are in trouble. And the access providers are in trouble right now. It's the first step, because as soon as they have the data retention, as soon as they have the information, they have the potential to identify criminals. And if the police can simply say, now you have to get through this information, you have the duty to get through them, to identify criminals, and so on. So I'm not very pleased about the situation, but the hyperlink controversy, this is a very controversially discussed issue. And I think open networks are not comparable, because right now, give me a ring if something else is happening around Europe, but just ringing the police saying, I'm an access provider, I'm not responsible, normally helps. There's another question.
Yeah, maybe more a remark in addition to what the lady said. She said about the responsibility. If that is going to be the society, I think we also should forbid McDonald's because they are feeding terrorists with hamburgers.
No. No. You were the one who had this this lecture about data retention before, yes? I liked it very much. I liked it very much, and I'm absolutely in your line. But I think if we see it from a legal point of view, and I'm a lawyer, so I'm always trying to see it from the legal point of view, because that's the only way I can fight. You know, I can fight with regard to law, but not with regard to technique. So it's very important for me to keep out that the access provider. I wouldn't even compare it to McDonald's, because there are some claims against McDonald's in the United States, and they're made responsible for fat people, so there is a responsibility. So I would like the access provider to keep out of that and say they're not responsible at all, because they are untouchable. They're so important for our society, for the access to the internet, for the information source. So there is no responsibility. I'm just stepping forward. Anonymity. Question is, okay, there is one more question.
One more question.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes, please.
I have a problem with the interest of the information, because I think with the open open wireless networks, there could be a kind of law that says all hardware producers have to install or only have to only sell access points with encryption. Like that would be the easiest way in my eyes, but there seems to be an interest also to say also to sell access points that are able to provide an open wireless LAN. On the other hand, your scenario seems to be like all the data that could be collected could be sold anyways. So where's the interest? Is the interest governmental at the government, who wants to collect the information? Or is it a kind of business interest in information?
Okay, there are a number of interests coming together. So we can only pick out step by step. We can say the government has an interest, well, not actually effectively fight against terrorists. That could be an interest as well, but that the society, the public, has the feeling that the government is doing its best. So they say, we do things that might be useless, but they look good. You know, they look like activity. That's my point of view. You might have a different point of view, but I think this is, you know, just doing something. And some people might say, oh, yeah, that's effective, that's effective. Oh, yeah, storing all information, that could help us. It does not. But for most of the people, not you, but the rest of the world, this seems to be a very good thing. They say, well, if somebody has nothing to hide, he has not to worry. I'm not using a computer at all, but that sounds good to me. So that's the one thing. This morning I gave you another example, phishing. We need a law on phishing. It's not criminalized right now. That's bullshit. We don't need a law. We have it, but it sounds much better to say we need a law. We're dealing with this issue. We take it serious. So that's the one thing. The second thing, industry. They have their own interest. They have lobby groups that might influence the politicians, but they have a completely different interest. They want to find out who buys what stuff, and we mentioned this, and somebody else mentioned this morning. They said this information can be very valuable, 10,000 euros maybe one day. If you really can give somebody information, detailed information about a potential client, that would be wonderful. Okay, and there are more interest groups. So the providers, I'm not sure what they want. I mean, as a provider, I would say save money, offering a cheap service, but they're storing the information, and they're paying a lot of money for the storage. So I don't know. I'm not a provider. But that was just a general overview. I think it is very important that you discuss this much deeper. I just want to give you some arguments. Yeah, next one, anonymizer. I mean, I'm using it because I don't want everybody to know who I am, what I'm doing on the internet, and I think it is good if people are using it because even for legal purpose, you know, if there are more people using these services for legal purpose, it's not always like somebody says, oh, he's using that service, oh, it must be criminal. So I'm using it, I'm promoting it. Question is, can they help us? I don't know yet. We will see if they can help us. If they are able to, they're based in Europe right now, if they're able to install or mix up a system that is saving us from data retention. It's not sure, but this is the next step. So that could be an option for legislative attempts as well. They say, well, no anonymizer anymore. They're hiding the identity, that's bad, you shouldn't hide your identity. You're not allowed to take off the registration of your car. This is very much similar, and therefore we say a ban on this. And it's not an intensive discussion going on right now, but they're already discussing it. So that's the next step. Okay, it's already not very famous, the service. You know, you always look like somebody who's exchanging child pornography or something like that over the web. If you're using it, but you know, it has a bad feeling if you're using it. So I would just like to pick up the next point, is encryption. You know, why do you want to encrypt? Everybody's asking you. If you buy PGP, people are asking why. Why on earth do you need PGP? So this is the next step. You know, if they find out, let's say there are terrorists communicating, but I don't know what they are talking about, then one of the politicians will show up and say, well, next step, we need to know what they're talking about. And they will find out that it's very easy to use encryption software. I'm quite sure we have this law one day. And then we will stand here again, somebody else will stand here, me with gray hair, and say, well, it's the same situation we had before. There is a law and can easily be circumvented. So encryption, that will be the next topic. If they find out terrorists are intensively using encryption technique, they will say, no. We need a restriction. State needs to be able to decrypt this information to save you all, millions of people, because of a ticking bomb. Or you have to install a backdoor. So we had this discussion before. It was completely finished. And if you would have asked me about 2 years ago, will we have a discussion about encryption technology again, I would have said, no. It's all political parties said, no, we don't want this. But after data retention, after this experience, I'm quite sure this could come up on the agenda next week. And we will talk about data retention, and we have data retention because of fight against terrorism. So that could be the next option. I think I have, just one more. I was talking to a guy from the police, and he said, oh, no, I cannot really investigate the way I want. I want different ways to investigate. For example, with regards to child pornography, they've just updated the procedural law. In the past, the police was only allowed to download child pornography to see if they really exchange child pornography. Right now, they're even allowed to offer child pornography. So this is a change. I mean, it's a good question. Should the police participate in the dissemination of child pornography or not? But at least this is an investigation instrument they really need, because if you want to get access to one of these exchange circles, you really have to offer them something, otherwise you are out. The police was always out. Now they have a new instrument, and they're already waiting for new ones. Keylogger. They really want to install keyloggers with regard to encryption. They want to use viruses. They have a long agenda, a long list of not all policemen, but a number of them who are working in this area. They say, we want more. We want more tools. And this will be an interesting development as well, to follow this and to try to identify it and how to stop it. And it's, for me, as somebody who's not really into technique that much, it's really frightening. It's frightening what they're planning to do. And I'm feeling pretty comfortable right now, but I'm not quite sure whether I'm feeling comfortable in 5 or 10 years when they have all installed all these instruments they are looking for. Well, that's not the moment where I'm leaving the room, but I would like to thank you very much for your attention. If there is something you would like to send me and not mention right now, send me an email. If there is something going on where you think maybe somebody who's teaching at the university should know and maybe publish about it, or maybe, you know, maybe he doesn't even know, send me. If there are cases going on, if you know, well, there was somebody who has trouble with the police or because of some stupid reasons, let me know. It's just would be just interesting for me, because I'm sitting in at a place, you know, doing very much theoretical side of, and it's very important to keep the touch with those people who are really in touch with the problems. Otherwise, I'm writing about things that are not up to date anymore. So there are a number of. Oh, there is one remark now. One of the guys was asking for a remark. Yes, please. Where's the microphone? Okay. It's about. I think it's a remark about. The data retention and the position of the courts.
I just wanted to say I'm Tonel Lombard from FFII. We're currently setting up a process against the IP. Data Retention Directive. I'm sorry. Which is. Well, there are two bases to fight against it. One is that it was made in the wrong fashion. It's a security directive, so the full agreement of the council would have been required. And also, it's in contradiction with one of the with Article 8 of the European Human Rights Convention. And if you think that you're affected by this directive, and if you know companies who think, well, we need this directive eliminated, otherwise we can't do business or whatever, for example, if they're an ISP and have to pay a lot for data storage and they're a small ISP and they can't survive then just tell them to contact the FFII. We're going to help them through, well, to get what they want, if we can do this still after all.
Well, I hope you're successful. Well, are there any more questions? Yes, here we go.
I would like to bring to your attention the very different topic that is that almost everyone is carrying a mobile phone at his free will, and that is a perfect tracking device. And I would suggest to get prepaid phones and on a regular basis switch them with friends to make data retention more difficult.
Yeah, more of these tips, please. No, it's excellent. Just if we are talking about mobile phones, prepaid phones, they were planning a registration for that as well. They are trying to force people who would. Who are running these cards, that if they buy these cards, they have to show their ID. I mean, it doesn't help if you share them, but this is a very good idea. I mean, we are stupid enough. I mean, when we're talking about the cell phones, if you think about 1984 and compare it to what we are doing right now, that we're really carrying The mobile phone that is makes it possible to trace our route back through town, this is really stupid. I mean, what we are doing is really, that's ridiculous. So talking on the one hand side of privacy protection, on the other hand side, carrying around one of these mobile phones is absolutely stupid. But there are options to use a mobile phone without really getting a route traced back. But, you know, I'm not feeling... For some reason, that might be the same with the next generation when we have data retention. They might really not feel touched by this, but this is bad. This is no positive development. Thanks a lot. There is another question from the back.
Well, in Germany, it's allowed to lend a phone to a friend, but it's not allowed to sell them the SIM card. You can't sell them the SIM card because it's simply not allowed. But if you want a mobile phone, you can get a postpaid card like from from Klarmobil and let them send the card to a dead mailbox and get it from there. Then you have an anonymous card.
Yes,
but if you sell this card to a friend, then you will get in trouble.
I don't think so. I really have to say I didn't follow that until the end because I'm not into this telecommunication thing, but I think there is no force of a registration. And I mean, if you're walking, if you're on one of the flea markets, you can buy hundreds of them. So I think there is no need for a registration yet. They try to implement it. It's not implemented yet. That's my the last thing I knew. But maybe you check this one. There are a number of other questions. And there are some up in the front. We maybe start in the back.
Yeah, I just want to add a little thought because the current thing that the RFID passports would be a great deal to add this to TCPA, and we have a RFID reader in every PC, and so you can only allow people to use PCs with their RFID passport, which is currently in Germany since November. You get your Reisepass, I don't know what it's called, with RFID
passport.
ID and passport, and the next thing is that they add additional stuff, and I think this is a great potential for having more control over people.
Yeah, I hope it takes them some time and you develop how to crack the system really intensively, and then you can set up your own ID and your own RFID chip. This is, by the way, a stupid development, what they're doing right now. I mean, it's comparable to the music industry. They had a physical object, and they moved away from the physical object, from the analog thing, to the digital thing. And then, afterwards, they found out, ooh, it was maybe a mistake, because now everybody can copy it. So this is a strange move. It's not a clever move. And we see the same development right now. I mean, we still have the physical passport. But, you know, these digital information can be alterated by you, can be changed without people really recognizing it. And I'm quite sure there are clever guys sitting on the other hand side, and I'm not talking about the government right now, who know how to manipulate it and who will be the kings of the future because they're able to change their identity however they want because there will be nothing like an ID anymore. Maybe there is not even a physical picture in the passport anymore, but only some data, and if you're able to change them, you're the king of the world. Okay. Next step. There is someone.
Yeah, I just wanted to say regarding the directive and the mobile phones that the directive might one of the conclusions from the directive might be that your location is also recorded when you make a phone call with your mobile.
Well, the cell is recorded, therefore at least
yes.
Some. Yep, it
it's,
is.
It's quite close already.
Okay, there are a number of more questions. Up here and up there.
As I know, it is in a few years that it have to be in every cell phone in the States. There is a GPS empfänger. No, a GPS empfänger inside. And then I think I have one question about the JAP. It's possible to present the service with the new JAP client, and is it any trouble for the law when I do something like that?
I didn't really get the question, but maybe.
Okay, if you download the new software, the JAP software,
yeah,
then you can open the connection for use for other people, so that the service is going via your client.
Interesting. I'm not an expert in this area, but there is one. There is one. Is Julius here? He might know it. No. I'm sorry.
Okay.
If you come back later, I'm going to show you the guy who can answer this question. Maybe.
Yeah,
That sounds perfect to me. Client is client. That's yeah. I agree. Proved. Yeah.
Okay. I think if we look back on history and if we realize that our services that we use are actually telecommunication services, and if we also realize that the tapping into the telecommunication services like normal standard phone lines has been going on for decades, that will maybe make people realize that there's a vital interest of the state, of any state, to retrieve the information. And I think the internet is only one form, and only through privatization of formerly state-run telephone communication carriers, they needed to pass a law like the media service law in Germany, that they actually had to stipulate and enable the authorities to enter via private companies, enter the system, which has been going on before, but they only used like authorities like the Deutsche Post or whatever, and it went undercover, and it's all coming up and coming out now, and people actually realize it at the moment. But it's a thing that's been going on for ages, and I just wanted to remind people that it's nothing new of the...
I don't want to say there is no vital interest. I'm sorry if that was a misunderstanding.
I didn't mean that concerning you.
But wiretapping a line, if there is a suspect, that's okay. That's something I can fully understand. But wiretapping all lines in the world, just because there could be something, this is not okay. So I don't like this. I don't like this... not really looking at the subject as a suspect anymore, but really covering everything, recording everything. That's something I don't like.
Of course, but I mean, there has been this issue of automated tapping through trigger words and stuff like that, and I don't know exactly what the NSA is doing at the moment here or wherever.
We're just facing a period of time where the interest in that is growing. Years ago, nobody would have asked, but now maybe it's time to ask this question. What are they doing?
I think didn't realize because the laws weren't that necessary because it went undercover.
No, but I was speaking to somebody who's running one of the internet. I don't know how you call that. One of the internet providers, and he said the NSA showed up one day and said, "We would like to install our little server here. You won't get to know anything what there is happening, but he's just checking what is coming through, and some of these information, especially those who were encrypted, were sent to the United States. So this is strange things are happening, but I think maybe it's easy to circumvent it, and we should try to do it just to keep a little space outside that completely controlled room. Okay, there is one more question up here.
Not a question, but a remark. The collection of data of people who are using prepaid card has already begun. The T-Online Germany offers a better price for people who register, and especially people like me who are living from what they call Hartz IV, it is almost necessary to get the better price and to register.
Yeah, but the same with the payback cards. I mean, they offer you some discount if you're using the payback cards. T-Online won't do it for investigation purpose. They will do it for their own interest because these are valuable information about you. I mean, these people are really stupid that are using. I'm sorry if somebody you uses payback cards, because you know they're only offering you this very, very small profit because they're using your data. I mean, that's obviously, otherwise they wouldn't do it. So of course you're forced. If you want to get the best price, you have to do it. But the question is, how valuable is your privacy? That's the question. Is it 1 cent for each phone call, or is it whatever? I mean, right now the payback cards do not really offer 5% discount anymore. They say you're getting a football every 2 years or whatever. So it's really the question, how much did the people get used to that collecting something they do not even need? And so that's interesting. But we don't have to stop now. We have 5 more minutes.
The difference is big, because for an SMS now I pay 5 cents. Before I paid 19 cents.
No, you're absolutely right. This was...
I see three problems concerning the whole topic. The first one is people want 100% security, and politicians say to them, we give you 100% security. That's just a lie. And I think people have to recognize this. The second one is we need more people using their brains. The whole phishing problem is just a problem of people not using their brains. That's it. And the third problem is the internet is just a tool of crime, for crime. Child pornography has been existing before the internet was installed. And all the other things happen too, fraud and whatever. And I think politicians have to recognize that it's just a tool. And if you take away this tool, or if you take our human rights, the persons who commit these crimes will find other ways.
Definitely. You're absolutely right. There are two things I would like to remark on. First one is I'm quite happy that the internet was designed as a military network and is resisting against any kind of control. So therefore, the possibilities, I mean, if the state, if those who are in charge right now, for example, those ones who have just drafted these data retention law, if they would have been in charge setting up an internet, the technical background, they would have installed a completely different system. So I'm quite happy we have the internet as it is right now, because the technique is saving us up to a certain degree. And the second thing I would like to say is the people want 100% security, that's right, but they are not, and that's the phishing aspect you mentioned, they are not trained anymore. They want to buy a computer, they want to open it, and they want to use it without learning anything. I mean, they are not willing anymore to visit a computer course and do whatever. They just say, I want to use it. I'm a professional. I'm an expert. So if we are not understanding the machines anymore, and I can remember the time about 15 years ago, everybody who was using a computer was able to deal with a computer, because otherwise it wouldn't really be able to set it up. But right now it is so easy, people don't have to know the machine anymore. And if they are giving away the responsibility for setting up the machine and understanding the machine, they're giving away responsibility for their security as well, because if you're making it easier to use, that automatically leads to the possibility of bad guys to get access to the computer and use it, because there are open systems, so we have to decide, do we really want easy to use or do we want security? And I think most of the people choose easy to use, but this is something where we can't really do something. Yes, please, there is one more. Oh, yeah.
I want to say that, and to refer to communication providers, I would say data mining is happening since years for marketing purposes, finding out which package you could sell to which customer, and they are looking for cell IDs. They take any data they have for that. And the second thing I want to say is that the data retention didn't come up since terrorists attacks. It came up in 1996. About the cybercrime convention, about the GA.
No, but the cybercrime convention explicitly says no data retention. Data retention is absolutely wrong way. We don't want any data retention, so don't mention
These drafts went up to G7, G8, to the Lyon Group, and they made the first drafts for cybercrime in 1997. And there were no words about terrorists and nothing at all.
No, definitely. But terrorists is something that makes it really work. You know, you're getting it through the parliament.
They replaced the words. If you look at the history of the draft, they replaced the words organized crime with terrorists, and that's all that happened since nearly 10 years in this topic.
Okay, I think we have to leave the room for the next group. One more thing, maybe. There is one more remark.
Okay, sorry for raising another issue. You
Please.
Were talking about the negative effects of data retention on the individual. Perhaps you could say something about the negative effects on the economy, because negative effects on the economy could be very important for getting the data retention into the... for convincing politicians that data retention is maybe not the perfect tool. Advance society.
You're absolutely right, but I think this was a long argumentation going on. I think the internet providers had their chance to explain that this is not good for the economy, and that is... But I
think maybe it's not only internet providers, sorry for...
chiming in.
Okay, no, but I think it is very important to talk to now go to a different level, especially because we are talking about cases going to the constitutional courts right now, where we really have to focus on the basic human rights, on privacy, protection of privacy, and not economic interests. But absolutely right, it's not clever for the economy. It's really one of the most stupid laws I've ever seen. It's useless. It's expensive. I don't know. I mean, maybe IBM was behind that because of the storage media. I don't know if they're involved. Thank you very much for your interest.